Lord. If you want to follow along, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here to just get us in the mind of where I want to go. Mark 7, 32 through 35. Mark 7, 32 through 35, if you want to follow along. And this is Mark's account of Jesus. And they bring unto him, unto Jesus, one that was deaf and had an... I just went blank. Say the word, dear. Impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto them, and I'm not even going to try on that one. That is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. He touched him with his hand and his fingers. And in another account in Matthew, and you can follow along if you want, but we're just going to go straight on through. I'm going to read it. In Matthew 8, 2 and 3, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, Jesus, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Today I want to talk about the hands of Jesus. The hand of God. We're all in need in some way of a touch from the hands of Jesus. When I began to prepare this sermon, I went to Bible Gateway and to a reference, and I just put in hand in the Bible, and I was shocked because I thought, well, I'll find some easy references to my scripture, and there was over 1,500, depending on which reference you look at, references to the hand of God, the right hand of God, laying on hands in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are 259 references in Bible Gateway to the hand. Most of them positive, but some of them evil hands. So this is not going to be a complete and exhaustive study of the hand of God. There's too much involved. The right hand of God, the laying on of hands. There's a lot of major subjects about the hands of God. But I just want us to look at, it's so personal, you know. We've heard a lot of sermons about the tongue, haven't we? And what it can do. But what are our hands doing? What are we doing with our hands? So I just want to get into a little bit of a beginning of our hands. Some of you right now, if I was sitting by my wife and maybe Derek and Laura, I don't know. If Doris was sitting by Nick, I'm sure there'd be some hand holding. And I see some parents with children and they're touching them, they're holding them, holding hands. There's just something about it, isn't there? About our hands. Songwriters have been writing about it for who knows how long. Debbie and Marilyn sing that song, which is one of my favorites, Hold On to God's Unchanging Hand. I just love that song. It gives me a reference. It makes me want to do something. And then Marilyn also has another song, Hand in Hand with God. Walking hand in hand with God. Speaks of God's reaching out to us through His hands. We learn of God's heart and God's character when we see the symbolism in these Bible passages of Jesus' hands. The hands of Jesus that actually put his fingers in his ears. Put his hands on their eyes. That touched the untouchable. Multiple times, the reference. He touched the lepers. No one else would touch him. In fact, the lepers would cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He touched them. We learn of the benefits of God, the benefits that God has for us when we accept his reaching out to us and when we reach out to him. I'll just tell you right now that my inspiration for this little Bible study started in a very unusual place. My wife, we needed to stop for some groceries at Kroger, right out here, West Kroger. She went in the store. I thought she just had a few things, a couple things to get. So I said, "I'll stay in the car, I'll watch, park at a place, and I'll pull up and get you, and we'll get moving." I don't know how you do it. She needed two things, and I know she bought half a dozen. So I was sitting in the car trying to redeem the time. And one of the things I love to do when I'm out in public is I observe people. I just enjoy watching what people do. I just find it fascinating. You learn a lot about people real quick if you watch them. You really do. There's a lot of human nature. We cannot hide who we are. So I'm sitting in my car. And this car pulls in, two cars beside me. There's a mom and there's two daughters. And she's driving a nice sports car. There's a little, like an 8-year-old girl. And then there's a 13, trying to go on 17 or 16 girl, dressed for the beach, I would say, but fooling with her cell phone. So the mom, the 8-year-old, the 13-year-old, and they start walking into the store, okay? It's just as sweet as could be. I mean, it was sweet. The 8-year-old quickly has a hold of her mom's hand, okay? The 8-year-old takes her other hand and reaches for the 13-year-old, her sister, her older sister. Nothing doing. That 13-year-old was too wrapped up in her cell phone and in her appearance to hold on to her little sister's hand. And she kind of touched it once, but then she, you know, I don't know if some of you know, some of you women know what 13-year-old girls can act like. Sometimes when they're kind of not being thoughtful. Then the little girl tried again. She tried twice to hold her older sister's hand. And I was heartbroken. I thought, one day, maybe you'll realize, I hope you realize, what a detriment to a relationship you could have had with your sister. I mean, I got a little emotional about it. Hey, here's a sweet, innocent 8-year-old wanting to have unity in the family, wanting to show affection, wanting to be together. Now, you know, the first thing I learned is there's something deep down in all of us, in all of you, in anybody, in the prisons, anywhere, there's something in our heart that wants to reach out and touch someone else. There's no denying it. People can argue, "Oh, no, I'm a macho man." No. You want to be touched and be touched. There's going to be a time you're going to admit it. God put it there. There's something in our heart that we want to belong to one another. We have a longing to feel the hand of God. Who was the great painter in the Sistine Chapel? The hand of God reached Michelangelo. And he paints the hand of God touching Adam. The first scene in one of the greatest paintings of all time. It's in our heart. It's just it usually takes a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old to recognize it. We're not childlike enough. So I saw this sad episode walking in to Kroger. A teenager absorbed in herself and missing out on a precious moment. Then I looked over and a car pulled in beside me, across from me. And another family got out. This was an older mom with 5 children. Four children. Okay. So the older mom, this mom had a smaller child. Then there was 2 middle ones, probably 6 and 8. And then there was an older brother. And he was pretty tall. He was a big guy. And he was probably 13 or 14. And then he had these 2 little siblings. When they got out, the mom was thinking, I got to get into Kroger. And so she had a hold of the youngest one and they took off. Well, the big brother was looking at a car over in the parking lot or something. And the other two, you know how kids love to go with the big one. The leader of the pack, you know, they were with him. And the mom was going on ahead. And so they were following him and he was talking. And then they start following mom like they should. They were behaving. They weren't out of order by any account, but they were a little behind mom. And, you know, the 2 little ones and the big guy. And they're going down this main lane to go into Kroger. And a car starts coming from behind them, you know, down the lane to pull in somewhere. Instantly, the big brother reached his hand down and got a hold of his little sister. I was like, I mean, he looked back. The little kids were absorbed with him. But he reached his hand down and grabbed his little sister that was following him, not the youngest, and the other one was on this side, a 13, 14-year-old boy, protecting, instantly reaching out to protect his sibling and walked him into Kroger and watched out for that car. And I was like, whoa, I have just seen 2 examples of human nature. I mean, and you got in the car, and I started preaching and started getting emotional. And I thought, wow, I'm learning lessons about God sitting in a hot car in a parking lot, and I'm learning about God. And I'm thinking, that boy was acting like God. He just instinctively said, they're hanging out with me because I'm the big one and I'm the talkative one. And what does our hands tell? What story is found in our hands when we touch, when we reach out? In God's hands, there's many, many, many benefits to the hand of God. Obviously, like the little 8-year-old that wanted to have the unity of her sister and her mom, the first and foremost thing I think of when I think of hands is affection. We sense and know the intimacy of God when we hold on to His hand. I love to hold my wife's hand. I remember when we was first dating, you know, we still had, in those days, we still had that big bench seat. And she was very polite and very modest. And we were in this big sedan from the 60s. And she got in, and there was room, I thought, for two people between us, you know. We were going on a date, and we had met, and I was driving, and she was over there, and she's not real talkative. And we had went to a play at, we were at Anderson University, and I said to her, going back in the car, I said, you don't have to sit so far away. I'm telling you, she moved quick, too. She scooted down that seat a little bit. There's something about the touch of your spouse, isn't there? Guys, women, you love to hold hands. Matthew 19, 13, 15, it says, "Then they brought to Jesus little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And verse 15, and he laid his hands upon them." Would that have been a sight to see? The hands of Jesus on those children. Don't you love to hold the hands of your children? I mean, when we go to see our grandchildren, we have four, so there's plenty of hands. We're five now at John's and two with Ben. So I'm just constantly wanting to hold somebody's hands because I don't get to be with those grandchildren much. Don't you just want to hold the hand of your children, your grandchildren? And there's an intimacy. There's an affection. There's a sense, I belong. I belong, you belong. I'm accepted, you accept me. Derek was talking about this covenant thing. Wow. It's a beautiful thing. A father holding hands with his daughter and a mother with her children, as we're seeing in the back. Sister and a sister holding hands. There's a joy in it. There's an affection in it. Then there's the hand of protection. Like the little boy in the Kroger's lot. In Matthew 14, 31, we have this account. "But when he, Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." You know where Peter's at? I started reading this. Peter jumped out on faith. He's walking on water. He's the miracle guy. No one else had done this. But he's like you and I. We go out by faith. We get a revelation. We're following Jesus. And he began to sink. And he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." Here's what it says. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" I want to be in God's protective hand. I want to be able to accept that hand when I get in trouble, when I start crying out. I want to grab the hand of Jesus because he can pull us up out of the water. How about when God was at the Red Sea in Exodus 15:6, "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. The right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy." That's what the Bible says after they had crossed through. There's affection, there's protection. There's safety. If we're in the hands of God, we're safe. As we stay in the hands of God, there's safety here and now, and there's safety for eternity. In John 10, 28, 29, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand." We're safe when we're in the hand of God. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God's hand. And of course, we know what I read. There's healing in the hands of God. Think of the time in Matthew. There was work to be done in the house, and the lady of the house was running a fever. And they told Jesus, "My mother-in-law's not going to be able to cook dinner." It says, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him." How many times did Jesus touch someone? And the demons were gone. The blind eyes were opened. The ears were opened by the touch of Jesus. I want to get a hold of the hands of God. And Derek didn't know I had this one in my notes, but there's a covenant hand of God. You know, as men, we like a good handshake, don't we? I like a good handshake. I mean, when I greet someone, I mean, he's my friend. We're in this thing together. And we just shake hands. Don't you do that, men? I just love to walk up and greet someone. And you just shake their hand, you know. It makes you feel at ease. It's like it opens up communication. You've touched. Now maybe we can get in this thing together. You know, I'm in the sales business. And even if I wasn't, you know, when you purchase a car or make a big purchase, every time I've ever done it, I've shook hands. There's a shake, you know. There's a covenant. Hey, I agree. I get the car. You get the money. You know, we're in this deal together. There's a covenant in the handshake. It makes us feel at ease. It makes us feel like we've agreed together. In Isaiah 49:16, we read about the most famous covenant handshake. In Isaiah 49:16, it says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." There's a finality to this handshake, to this agreement. Was it not Charles Wesley that said in his song, "Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hands." On his hands. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the hand of God. I'm thankful that we can depend on it, that we can be in it, and that He's reaching out to us. I haven't even begun to touch on the helping hand, the guiding hand, the hand of discipline, the hand of judgment, the hand of provision, that in the hands of God there's provisions. There's all the help we need, but that would be a series. When we look at the symbolism, the beauty of what God has done through His right hand, His mighty right hand, the Bible says. Jesus Himself in Luke 23:46 cried out, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Into your hands, God. Should we not follow this example? Should we not put our hands in God's hands? Another songwriter that I love to listen to that does worship music, her name is Christine DeMarco. In a worship album she does, she writes one of her songs that says, "There is a love that takes me by the hand, guiding my heart to find its home again. And where you are, God, that is home to me." Reaching out to the hand of love. And then she also wrote another song, "Over and over again you prove your love to me. You promise your mighty right hand will be holding unto me." Praise the Lord. Are you holding on to the hand of God today? Are you finding in the hands of Jesus your protection, your affection? Are you finding in the hands of Jesus your healing, your guidance, your love, and your provision? Because they're all there. Are you in the hands of Jesus? Are you in the hands, mingled in the blood of His palms? Are your hands hidden in those scars? As He told Thomas, "Put your fingers in the scars of my hands and feet and side." His hands are the proof of our redemption. He said, "Look at my hands." His resurrection power. In His hands are the strength we need to resist temptation. In His hands there's safety in our walk with God. In His hands we have all the provisions we need. Everything we need. In His hands we're led to where we need to be. If we're in the hands of God, we're not going to be where we shouldn't be, are we? We're going to be with Jesus. Amen. And if we're in His hand and it's hard, then we're going to say, "Well, Jesus is here with me. We can get through this." Amen. If we're in His hands, if we're walking with Him, I want to get a hold of Jesus' hands. I want to walk with Jesus on this life road. I want to walk with Jesus hand in hand when it's hard, it's dark, it's confusing. I want to walk with Jesus. There were two men walking on the Emmaus Road. They were walking. They were confused. They were in doubt. They were in darkness. But Jesus was walking beside them. And I imagine somewhere along the way they must have touched. Because it says they were stirred in their hearts. Are we walking with Jesus hand in hand in our doubt, in our confusion? Are we walking with Jesus through Jericho when He finds the blind man and heals him? Bartimaeus, when he looks up in a tree in Jericho and sees Zacchaeus? Are we hand in hand with Jesus? Are we hand in hand with Jesus in Galilee, in the everyday, normal, down-to-earth business, when dinner has to be cooked? Are we hand-in-hand with Jesus as He goes to Jerusalem, to the cross? Are we hand-in-hand with Jesus so we can know what our cross is, what our mission is? His hands is where we need to be. We need to reach out because He's reached out to us. And His hand can lead and protect all of us and get us to what God has truly called us to do. Praise God.